Good morning. I would encourage you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. In just a moment, we will read verses 21 through 25 together. We're delighted that you are here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we have a reading schedule that we've been following together. And on the Lord's Day, I choose to preach from some of the verses that we read together in the previous week. And this morning, I'd like to build on the lesson that we shared in together last week as we talked about where elders come from. We want to be about the business here among our membership of developing elders, but we also want to be about the business of developing every member of the Annandale Church. And so this morning, let's read these verses together, and then we'll talk about the context in which we'd like to think about them. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Last Lord's Day, as we were considering the context of 1 Timothy and Titus and 1 Peter, we talked about where elders come from, and we talked about the fact that elders, by definition, are men who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have become the Lord Jesus Christ disciples. And it is from this pool of disciples that we are to seek out from among us men who have the characteristics of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. And so as we think about developing elders here at Annandale, we want to think about that specifically, but we want to think big picture about developing every member of the Annandale Church of Christ as it pertains to the concept of discipleship. So as we think about who we are together, as a local church, we have two men who are serving as elders, as overseers, as shepherds of this flock. And we have a membership. And it's important for our two shepherds to know who the members are. Hebrews 13, verse 17, communicates the importance of this understanding of the relationship that we have with each other and with them. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." There's a distinction made between the work of the elders who are to be about the business of taking heed to themselves and to the flock, Acts 20, verse 28, and to the evangelist who is to take heed to himself, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and to the doctrine. Greg and Tony serve us in a special way, and they have a very special responsibility. They have a very special accountability. They're going to give account for those of us who have this relationship with them in which they are over us for the purpose of shepherding us to heaven. They need to know who the members are. There don't need to be any surprises in the day of judgment where the chief shepherd calls them in to give account. And, you know, Jesus is talking to them about Jason Cicero, and they're kind of looking around at each other, you know, wondering who that was. In this relationship that we have with each other, there needs to be an understanding of who the members are. And so with that in mind, I say to you this morning that on a sad note, this is Mike Smiley's last service with us. Mike Smiley has been a good member of the Annandale Church. And he has gone about us doing good, encouraging us. And we are sorry to say that he will be relocating to Jacksonville, Florida. Judy apparently is not ready to go with him. So she's going to give it a couple more weeks among us, and then she will head down. But Mike is a member of the Annandale Church today. He will move to Jacksonville, and more than likely he will join himself to the South Jacks Church, where Russ and Liz Roberts now live and work. And he'll be members there. And Greg and Tony will no longer have oversight over him. They will no longer be accountable for him. So as we think about membership or discipleship, for to this you were called. What have we been called to? Have we just been called to membership? Let's think about the term and how I want us to think about it this morning, as some people do think of it. So when we talk about membership, there are a lot of things that you can be a member of. You can be a member of Sam's Club, of Costco, of AAA. You can be a member of Gold's Gym, or you can be a member of a civic club. And essentially the way you go about being a member of one of those clubs is you pay a fee and you attend meetings, but you don't have to attend all of the meetings. You can attend some of the meetings, depending upon the type club. I in the past have been a member at Gold's Gym, and I will tell you, you don't have to attend any of those meetings for them to take your money. You can pay that fee every month, and they'll just keep cashing it. They don't care if you come or not. But what they do care about is if you don't pay the fee and you're not a member, then you don't have the rights and you don't have the privileges and you don't get the preferential treatment that comes to those who are members. If you're not a member of AAA and you break down on the road, you can't just call up AAA and have them come out and provide you with all the services that they provide to the folks who are members. And I'm afraid that there are a lot of Christians around the world who view church membership the same as they think of membership in one of these clubs or a civic club. And so in most churches, you have to go through what they understand to be obedience to the gospel. And so we talk about membership in terms of, okay, has this person been baptized? Okay, so we check that box. And then we say, okay, well, to be a faithful member of a church, you've got to attend the services. But in reality, people who view this relationship with Greg and Tony and myself and the other members of the church here, they don't necessarily think that you've got to attend all of the services. You just got to attend some of the services to be a member in good standing. I mean, there are people who are not here this morning, and it's not DEFCON, you know, 7. I mean, Greg and Tony are not sending text messages and making phone calls and, you know, we hadn't sent deacons out looking for the people this morning that aren't here. You know, that's not the way the relationship works. And so you can attend some of the meetings and not get a phone call if you roll back around. We say, okay, well, to be a faithful member in good standing, you got to make a contribution. I mean, the Lord has spoken. The King Eternal has spoken about that. And so you got to make some contribution, but in Christ, we're at liberty to decide how much we contribute. There's not all the detailed instruction in the New Covenant concerning tithing that was in the Old Covenant. And then, even in Sam's Club and Costco and AAA and Gold's Gym and Civic Clubs, I mean, there's just this sense of entitlement. Okay, now I've paid this fee and I attend some of the meetings, but these rights and these privileges, they are mine. I mean, and when we go full membership mode with somebody, you know, we like to put the sticker on our car. And we're just hashtagging everything. And we want people to know that we belong, and this is our group. These are our people. We are entitled to these rights and privileges and the preferential treatment that is coming to us. And there are some who view the church that way. There's just this sense of entitlement now in our culture. Tom Brokaw would talk about the greatest generation, and then we have, you know, all these subsequent generations that aren't really described that way. Instead of referring to my generation as great, we refer to it as X. What does that even mean? And so we have this generation of people now where there's just a lot of this sort of sense of entitlement in their mind and in their thinking and in their speech and in their behavior. And so church membership, when it comes to this business of entitlement, this is what it looks like. The church exists to meet my needs. That's why this exists. Greg and Tony have been appointed to this position to meet my needs. And so we come along, we have a wife and we have some kids, and so now we're a part of this of this relationship. And so now it goes from just this individual sense of entitlement to this sort of, you know, collective sense of entitlement. This church exists to meet my family's needs. That is not what we have been called to. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 21 through 25, where we read the title of our sermon, "For to this you were called," we have been called to discipleship. Greg and Tony, our shepherds, they do not want us to just be members of this church. They don't want us to just attend some of the meetings and make some contributions and make their life miserable just complaining about everything, how these classes don't meet our needs and Jason's preaching, it's not practical, I don't get anything out of it. And the deacons, when has a deacon ever done anything for me? And the women here, they're just, you know, they don't care about me or my family. I mean, just constantly just tearing down instead of building up. When we think about Hebrews 13:17 from where we stand, we need to check ourselves. Because Greg and Tony are not just going to give account for themselves. They're going to give account for us. And the last thing that I want to bring upon them is hardship and discouragement, and they can't do the shepherding they need to do for you because I'm wearing them out. We need to think about that. It might be good just to stop. Let that be the lesson of the hour. But I got some more stuff I want to say, so we're not going to. But I don't have a lot to say this morning because I want these lessons to be powerful. Jesus hasn't called us to membership. He's called us to discipleship. And here's what that looks like according to Jesus. We are fully trained to be like Him. Greg and Tony are not trying to call us to conform to their image. I'm not trying to call you to conform to my image. We are pointing you to Jesus. I want you to be this man's disciple. I don't want you to be my disciple. I want you to be His. I want you to discipline your mind and conform your mind to His. I want you to discipline your speech as He disciplined His speech. I want you to behave like He behaved. And that is the call of every Christian. Go therefore and make disciples. He didn't say go fill up buildings with members and encourage them to attend the meetings and to contribute financially so we can keep this crazy train rolling, because it takes money. That is not what Jesus called us to do. Having that mentality about what the church is and how it functions and how it ought to be about the business of meeting my needs, that is not from heaven. And it should not be in our thoughts. Being this man's disciple, it is a total commitment of mind and soul and spirit and body, to the extent that we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6. Why was that so important at Corinth? Do you ever stop and think about, and I do more of this now than I ever have, but do you ever stop and think about, okay, why did God want, let me say it this way, God wanted us to know this information in 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. Why did He choose to reveal it to the Corinthians? Why is that the channel through which we're getting it? Why didn't He have Peter say that in 1 Peter 3? Or why didn't He have, you know, Paul to write that to the Galatians? Why did He reveal what He wanted us to know in 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6 to the Corinthians at that time? Because what we think determines how we behave. And they were behaving in a lot of ways that did not glorify God. And I submit to you this morning, if you're behaving in a way that doesn't glorify God, it's because you've got information in your mind that is not true. And the only way you're ever going to fix your behavior is for you to get your mind right. And if you're going to get your mind right, you're going to need some help with that. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. That's what being a disciple of Jesus Christ looks like. That's what it means. That is what we need to be about the business of encouraging each other in. Membership promotes spiritual immaturity. If that's our view of who we are, then we are not going to develop elders. We're not going to develop deacons. We're not going to develop preachers. We're not going to develop men. We're not going to develop women. We're not going to develop brothers, sisters. We're not going to develop our kids. These 53 precious souls that have been entrusted to us that Greg talked about last month. If we just play church and we show up to some of the meetings and we give some of our money, It won't take long until we just have a generation of entitled people that finally just decide, you know, there's some other things I could do on the Lord's Day in the DMV. I mean, there are some brunches around that I could go and I could enjoy them. And you know how I could pay for that? With my contribution check. There are a lot of things in life that I could do with that money. And if I just continue to have this membership mentality, where I'm free to learn as much or as little as I desire. Oh, Greg and Tony think it's a good idea to have, you know, Bible classes at 9:30 where we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but they're not going to do anything if I don't come. Nobody's going to say anything. Nobody cares whether I'm there or not. I don't need that. If we continue to foster environments in which we, you know, you could just be as involved or as inactive if one you prefer, nobody ever encourages you to, you know, do anything. Which, incidentally, when someone says to me, you know, your lessons aren't practical, this is just an academic exercise, and I don't even know whether any of this stuff is true or not. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You know why there's so many people in the world today who hate their lives and their days are miserable? A lot of it has to do with what's in their mind and what comes out of their mouth. Look at verse 11. Let him turn away from evil. It's not enough to just turn away from it. The car ride home, the kids are in the back and the parents say, what did the preacher talk about this morning? He talked about sin. Well, what did he say about it? He was against it. Yeah, okay. It's not enough to just turn away from evil. Turn away from evil and do good. If we're not ever encouraging each other to do good, to use our gifts to the glory of God, then we're just going to promote spiritual immaturity. If we have this mentality that we can attend as frequently or as infrequently as we find helpful, you know, I don't care who you are. If you profess faith in Jesus to any degree, you're going to become discouraged. That's true of Greg and Tony. That's true of me. That's true of all of my spiritual heroes, mentors, preachers, elders, deacons, sisters in Christ that I've been associated with that I looked at as spiritual giants. We all have moments in the valley. And I will tell you that there have been times in which I have been in the valley and I didn't feel like coming to a service, and that's exactly what I needed. Just a word of encouragement from someone. A song. The edification, the building up of singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There have been times in which I was so down that I didn't know that I wanted to continue to walk with this man. And the words that came out of the pulpit had nothing to do with me whatsoever in the thought process of the person who was speaking them. They weren't thinking about me when they were putting that together during the week. And it was exactly what I needed to hear, because it was the Word of God. This model of membership does not require vital connection with the head. Who are we in Christ Jesus? We are members of Him. He is the true vine. We are the branches. His life flows into us. And without Him, we are spiritually dead. Membership promotes spiritual immaturity, but discipleship promotes your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not trying here in the context of the Annandale Church of Christ to be a cult and to conform your thinking to our thinking and your speech to our speech and your behavior to our behavior. We're not talking about cultic behavior here. We are talking about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're talking about you when you're not in this building, when you're not in this place, when you're not around other Christians, that you as a individual Christian, that you're experiencing a transformed life. You are not being conformed to the thinking and the speech and the behavior of this world, but you are being transformed by the work of our Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life. You are being transformed from the inside out. And as a result of that transformation and that renewing, that regeneration, you are now leading an obedient life. You're not just pretending to be a Christian so that Greg and Tony think well of you, so that I think well of you. No one has said this to me here, but in other places, I have literally had people say to me, I go out of my way to behave so that you don't preach a sermon about me. That's not what my work is about. My work is not about seeing you do something that I can preach about on Sunday. I want you to be transformed. I want you to be obedient and committed, because that is where abundant life is to be found, John 10, verse 10. I want you to have good days. I want you to love life. I want you to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised us in John 10, verse 10. The only way that's possible for any of us is to have a relationship with Jesus and with each other that affects every aspect of our lives. There are things that we ought not do because we do not want Jesus to be ashamed of us. And there are things that we shouldn't do because we don't want to be ashamed of each other. That's what discipleship looks like. I'm going to discipline myself on a daily basis to be like Jesus. Discipleship shapes our attitudes and our actions. Membership, whether we're talking about Gold's Gym or AAA, or I chose those because I've been members of those. I don't have any relationship with anybody at Gold's Gym. I don't even know that I have ever even seen somebody that works for AAA until they came out to my house for the first time to look at my battery because my van wouldn't start. And I don't know his name. He was there for about 10 minutes. He hooked his machine up and checked it, and then he left. And there wasn't nothing wrong with it, but he tried to tell me there was. But the battery was fine. Just trying to make money off of me is all that was about. When it comes to membership, and we talk about these places, I'll tell you what my attitude is every time. I look around at the other people who are members, and I think to myself, and I think about them, you are in my way. I have never gone to Gold's Gym where what I wanted to do, somebody wasn't doing it. They're just in my way. I want them to get off that machine. I want them to get out of the basketball court. You don't have to be a member at Wegmans to shop at Wegmans, but I have never gone to Wegmans in the DMV in which I didn't have a panic attack because there were so many people in it. And I can't shop for my coffee and for my whatever because of all these people. And I just want all these people in Wegmans to get out of my way. I have never gone into the district to look at any of the monuments or the museums that I didn't think to myself, I love all this, but there's just too many people. I can't find a parking space. All these people are in the way of all these pictures I want to take. You are in my way. Is the mentality of membership. And why do we choose the things that we do? Most often it's because of convenience. And what all of this does spiritually is it just turns us into spiritual couch potatoes in which we're just laying around watching everybody else sort of do their thing to our glory and to our needs. And but I'm a good Christian. I'm a faithful member at Annandale. I'm on the roll. Greg and Tony got me in the congregate. I'm all set up with my member name and my password. By contrast, here's what discipleship looks like. We are members of each other. Romans 12:5. We are individually members of one another. Here's the Jason Cicero translation of that verse. I'm a part of you, and you're a part of me. We're a part of each other. We have more of a relationship than I do with the AAA guy and the girl at the Gold's Gym desk checking me in. And the guys running around working out on the machines I'd like to use. We are a part of each other. In this relationship, you're not in the way, you're part of the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And from Acts 9 through Acts 24, those who became this man's disciple were referred to as the way. And these people did not become this man's disciple because it was convenient. There just wasn't nothing about being a Christian in the first century that was convenient. What's the context of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25? Suffering. What's the historical context of it? These Christians at this time, they had begun to suffer, but their suffering was going to get a lot worse. There's nothing convenient about being this man's disciple in the first century. Why were these people this man's disciple? Because of conviction. We can promote membership and we can just all sit around fat and sassy. Or we can be disciples and we can be about the business of encouraging each other to exercise ourselves toward godliness 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. We can encourage each other as individuals to get up, Hebrews 12:2, and to run with endurance the spiritual race that is set before us. We can play church and have our names on a roll, or we can sit at the feet of Jesus. And how do we do that? We do that by faith. What Martha's sister Mary did in Luke 10, verse 19, is how we need to view our relationship with the Lord Jesus. We don't need to be worried and distracted about many things. We need to sit down at the feet of Jesus, and by faith, we need to hear His voice. And by faith, we need to conform our thinking to His. And by faith, we need to conform our speech to His. And by faith, we need to conform our behavior to His, to the glory of God, and to the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why would I choose to be this man's disciple? For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. The context of 1 Peter 2:21 through 25 is suffering. Life in Christ will not always be blue skies and rainbows. In Acts 14, verse 22, we read that we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom. So why would I choose to be this man's disciple? 1 Peter 1, verse 2, He shed His blood for our sins. 1 Peter 1:11, He suffered that we might be glorified and share in His glory. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, He redeemed us with His precious blood as the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 2:21, He suffered for us. 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. 1 Timothy 2:24, He heals us by His stripes. I meant Peter. Did I say that more than once? I probably did. I apologize. Those of you who knew what I meant, I appreciate it. Those of you who didn't know what I meant 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:25. He is our loving, caring chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, Psalm 23. 1 Peter 3:18, He suffered once for sins that He might bring us to God. And 1 Peter 3:22, why would I choose to be this man's disciple? Because he's gone into heaven. He is where I want to be. So how do I get there? Through Him. By way of invitation and conclusion this morning, as we think about why would I choose to be this man's disciple, I used to love baseball. I played from the time I was 5 years old through my senior year of high school. I just got burnt out of it, and I followed the Atlanta Braves growing up, and I got excited 3 years ago when we moved here because I'm okay now. I live close enough to be near a team, and I tried to get on board the Nats train, and I just can't. I've tried. I'm just not interested in it like I was. And so this year I haven't watched any baseball, and we were watching a football game last night, and they scrolled down at the bottom that the Nats were down 3-1, and it was bottom of the eighth, and Bryce Harper was up to bat. So I turned on the baseball game because of that scrolling headline at the bottom. So we're sitting there and we're watching it, and Bryce Harper hits a home run. 44,000 people just going crazy. Knowing that millions of people are watching this on television. Cheering it. Rejoicing in it. Loving it. It was exciting. And then the rest of the inning was pretty exciting. And then we went to the ninth inning, and then I remembered why I didn't like watching baseball anymore. It's so boring. It's just like, get them out. This is be over. Just let it be over. Bryce Harper. A little less than 2 hours later, Bryce Cooper obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. There weren't 44,000 people here when he obeyed. It wasn't live on TBS. When I got up this morning and I looked at the headlines, I didn't see anything about it. It wasn't trending on Twitter. But what I read in my Bible is that there were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels rejoicing in Bryce Cooper. Let us come to know who Jesus is. Let us let Him give us the perspective that we need to make our journey from earth to heaven. And let us be this man's disciple. If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus bore your sins in His body on the tree that you might die to sin and live to righteousness. His wounds will heal your broken heart. While we stand and while we sing, we encourage you to lay it all at His feet.